Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to Bravo Happy Hour. I'm your host, Megan O'Donnell. Grab yourself a drink and join me every Tuesday and Friday to talk all about Bravo TV. On Tuesdays, I report on all the latest news stories happening in the off-screen lives of our favorite Bravo celebrities. And Friday bonus episodes range from one season wonder recaps, Bravo celebrity product reviews, book club discussions, very random deep dives, and so much more. Sit back, grab your drink, and enjoy the show. Welcome to Bravo Happy Hour. I'm your host, Megan O'Donnell, and today's episode is blessed with the presence of Elizabeth Franchini from season 8 of Below Deck. Elizabeth came onto our screens as a bright-eyed, spiritual yachty with the goal of not falling in love this charter season. However, things took a quick turn for her when she began butting heads with her chief stew and fell for her fellow crew member. Welcome to the show, Elizabeth, and thanks so much for coming on.
Hi, Megan. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I was talking to you earlier about how we have a mutual friend who helped set this up, and she's a Long Island girl, you're a Long Island girl, I am too. So I have to just ask, where on Long Island are you from, and would you ever move back there? Where are you living now these days?
Yeah, so I'm originally from a small town in Nassau County called Malvern. That's actually like a 30-minute train ride into the city, so it's like kind of on the border of Queens. And I loved growing up there, and now I live in Fort Lauderdale, the yachting industry hub is. So I'm used to just being here. I love New York, but with the pandemic right now, and just the way things are, I don't know when I'd be moving back there anytime soon, unfortunately.
I mean, I don't blame you. So many people I know have left New York. Like once it started kind of becoming really serious, everyone was like, you know, my uncle lives in California, I'm going to move there. Or I know a couple people who moved down to Florida. So I don't blame you.
I just need this nice weather and, you know, being outside the ocean.
I know, just like nature in general. Even like when I've been able to leave the city, my roommate has a car. So we've like left and gone on hiking trips upstate, and it's just been so nice. And whenever I'm out of the city, I think like, what the hell am I doing living in like a concrete jungle? Truly.
I know, I've been there so many times. That's why I went back and forth. But
I feel like a lot of people on Below Deck end up actually moving to Florida. Like I feel like Kate Chastain was there, and then a bunch of other random people from past seasons always kind of end up there. But I guess it's like, like you said, the yachty hub.
Yeah, exactly. It's just this is where the boats are. So if you want to stay busy, you'll get hired if you're here, you know.
So when you got onto the show, you mentioned you had been a stew for about 5 years prior to being on Below Deck. So how did you get into yachting? I feel like that's kind of a very random thing to just stumble upon.
Yeah, it's funny. I actually did just stumble upon it because I was on a vacation with my best friend in St. Martin, which is, of course, another very popular yachting destination. And then I fell in love at first sight with my ex-boyfriend on the beach, and he was a yachty. And so I it was really because of him that we were traveling together afterwards, and it was just a means for us to be together. And I wasn't doing much in New York other than like hospitality jobs here and there and doing promotional modeling and just kind of freelance work. So it just made sense.
Did you work on boats with him the entire time?
No. We, throughout the years of our relationship, we did end up getting couple positions on a few boats. But when I started, like I just got my SCCW certification. And a few days later after getting it, I got hired as a relief third stewardess on my very first boat in St. Martin. And I just said, goodbye to him and left for that boat.
Bye.
And it all started from there. Yeah, thanks. Well, we were having issues. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how it could happen where you could have like a stable relationship when both people are on yachts full of like attractive people on your crew and then all of the guests. Like, yeah. Did you ever hook up with a guest? I feel like that would be the hardest thing for me to not do. It's horrible. I don't know what that says about me as an employee.
Yeah. No, I have never hooked up with a guest. Usually, I mean, that would definitely be like grounds for dismissal, but I never even got away with it or anything. But the goal would be, yeah, to find some really awesome guests and then not have to work in the boats anymore, right?
Exactly. The roles will reverse. But if it's that case, at least you would be like so grateful and gracious to the people who were working for you, because you can say, hey, I've been there. Yes, I need another mimosa, but I'm also gonna say please and thank you.
Oh my gosh.
So did you work with any good celebrities? Whenever I think of yachting, I just think of like Beyonce and Jay-Z and their beautiful kids like frolicking in the South.
Oh my gosh, I know. Well, I was in the Mediterranean and I worked on the biggest boat I've ever been on. It's over 200 feet. There were 17 crew members.
Wow.
And and we did a charter with the owner of Vice Media. Wow. And he had a really nice family. And then there was this like, yeah, I think we were in Italy and there was this thing Google going on. So all these very wealthy, important, prominent people were there because it was literally like a Google convention. I think like Bill Gates was there, but our boat hosted an after party. So there were definitely a few celebrities at the after party on our boat, and that was pretty exciting. I just know Alicia Keys was sitting inside, and yeah, it was really cool. But I was just so busy working. It's not like you can like have time to.
Well, that's the hard part. I feel like with this show and even on like some of the Housewives shows, you'll see like the bartenders of these parties, like watching all the drama happen. You have to think like, wow, these people have seen everything.
Yeah, there's definitely some crazier situations out there where, yeah, they really do see everything.
And especially because Below Deck has a full camera crew following the guests and the crew. I feel like the guests can't be as rowdy and wild. Like, I think it was maybe, I can't remember what season, but someone had drugs and Captain Lee like freaked out. And in my head, I'm like, why do I feel like major celebs, like, you know, young celebrities have just like tons of like cocaine and parties and women, and I'm like, I feel like we're seeing a PG version of yachting.
You are so right. It can get way more x-rated.
That's what I want to see.
I literally just the other day was speaking to a captain, and he said there was like this couple, they were having a threesome on the bow, like in the middle of the day. Like, no shame. I literally just heard that story yesterday. I was like, oh.
Yeah, I once was on. I was
That's
once
what's going on over here.
I was listening to a podcast once and I heard the guy talking about a time he was on a yacht. And like it was like him, his wife, and like maybe five other couples. Uh-huh. He said they'd all been drinking all day. And at one point, like everyone kind of like went and did their own thing. Like, and he said, like they went up to the front and they just saw like their friend giving her husband a blowjob, like in the middle of daylight, friends on the boat. And like, he was That's, like, what the fuck? Save it oh for home.
I don't know what it is about being on a yacht, but I swear, like, people just let some sides of themselves come out. It's like this little oasis dream boat that, I don't know. Nothing's real.
I mean, yeah, exactly. It's like you're taken away. Like, you're on the water. You're like, okay, none of my problems. All my problems are on land.
Yeah, exactly.
I can do whatever I want. I'm drinking.
It's like the rules don't go like exactly. on the water as they do on land for some reason. I'm all for it.
Honestly, same. Like, I'm like shaming people for doing that. But God knows if I like was like really wealthy and had like a big ass boat, I'd be like, yeah, whatever. It was just a blowjob in the wind. He liked it. I liked it. We were having fun.
Yeah. I completely know what you're saying. So funny.
Oh my God. I would be fired so quickly from Below Deck. Like, oh my God. Clearly, I would break every rule.
I know. Oh
So how did you get involved in the show? Obviously, you know, I'm not sure if you were aware, but, you know, Below Deck is the most watched show on Bravo. So, like, were you nervous to go on this show and kind of expose yourself to all of the insane Bravo fans who are very, very vocal, as you probably know about?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely was prepared for that. You know, I knew that I was going to be putting myself out there and it was going to be intense. But I mean, for the past 3 years, I've been toying with the idea of going on Below Deck because, like, literally every single person I know is like, you should go in the show. Like, you're the Yachty, you know, like, it would be amazing. And let's just say I have an acting background. Like, I grew up acting my whole life in theater, and then I went to college for acting, and I basically put that dream aside to work in the yachting industry and have a 5 years traveling. And but now I kind of want to go back to that. So I thought going on Below Deck could be a really cool opportunity to get back into, like, just entertainment in general.
Totally. It's like a good way to kind of, like, get yourself out there, and at least you kind right. of are aware that you don't want to be a lifer. Like, I feel like some people, you know, Eddie, for example, like, clearly wants to be a captain, clearly wants this for his entire life, and is, like, serious in a way, you know.
Yeah, it's a serious career.
Yeah.
Right. But I mean, in from my 20s, it was amazing. I wouldn't, you know, take it back for the world, but I don't know. I think it's a little bit different with women and the chief stewardesses, because we always, yachting is just like a means to an end.
Well, yeah. This season was definitely different. You know, we didn't have Kate Chastain, who had been the chief stew for years and years and years, and her and Captain Lee had this bond together, and they replaced her with Francesca, who obviously, you know, no spoilers if you're listening to this episode, you probably watched season 8 and know that you were fired on the second to last episode, which, like, come on, second to last episode, really?
Yeah.
And literally, like, were you surprised to see how many times Francesca had complained about you to Lee and to the other cast members, or, like, were you kind of blindsided by that?
Yeah, well, the thing is like, I wasn't shocked watching afterwards at Fran's reactions, but it was definitely at the rest of the crew, because I mean, most were all nice to my face, and yeah, they gave me no inkling that they saw a problem with my work ethic. Like, I was constantly running around busy and making things happen, turn ups, turn downs, laundry, dishes, serving meals, cleaning up pantries, restocking. Like, I didn't appreciate the lack of support from my interior team, or, like, just the terrible levels of communication.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. There were some moments where I was like, okay, Elizabeth, yeah, not the best moment, like the mustard gas situation.
Oh my God, I know.
But even, like, honestly, like, again, like, I have to play devil's advocate here. I'm like, of course you're on the show, like, and I'm grateful for you coming on my podcast. But, like, if yeah. you had to get fired after anything, I was shocked it wasn't the mustard gas. Like, it took, like, you yeah. going into the guest cabin and fooling around with James that got you fired, rather than potentially killing everybody.
The mustard gas thing, I mean, even Kate had, she reached out to me personally and was like, I think that was the most ridiculous thing ever, because I've done that so many times. And for the most part, like, the mistakes are amplified doing entertainment. And then even, I think there's even people that are like, it's not even comparable to mustard gas. Like, no one's lives are actually in danger. This is what I've been told, you know. It still looks pretty bad, so I really yeah. wish I didn't do that. And I still have that shirt that I was trying to bleach, and every time I look at it, I'm like, you fucker. I should probably burn it. It's so cursed.
It has to go into, like, the Bravo Museum of, like, random items that have, like, made a real statement. I mean,
at least it's, like, an iconic moment that yeah. I don't know if could ever be recreated. Like,
I know.
It goes down, like, in history. Like, okay, let it be that. It's
fine. I mean, future Chief Stews will be watching and will be like, all right, note to self, no bleach indoors. And I don't even remember the concoction.
Yeah.
Who knows? But
yeah. Oh, apparently, yeah, I might have saved lives, because now we all know that.
There you go. You're actually a savior. You're saving lives.
That's me just putting a positive spin on, like, everything.
That's good. That's important.
Well, yeah, it keeps me keeps me sane sometimes.
But one thing I struggled with, like, I have a corporate job, I work in corporate America, and I've struggled in the past, not now, my boss is an absolute gem now, but in the past I've dealt with bosses similar to Francesca, where they bitch and complain about certain things, but they never teach you. And I find that to be a real disservice, especially on Below Deck. We've seen it time and time again. I think most recently, like, for example, like with Hannah on Below Deck Med, like, she was so unhappy, constantly doing things wrong. Her stews weren't happy with her. And then Bugsy comes in and is super uber organized, really allows for each stew to really understand their role. And in addition to that, saying, hey, like, do you want to learn white glove service? This is how you do it. And it's like, oh, poof, great. They do it perfectly going forward. With even with her, she was like, she's not holding the wine bottles properly. It's like, well, go up to her in the cabin and just say, hey, let's just try to hold the glasses like this. And you would do it and you'd be fine, rather than just like sitting around crying to Captain Lee, where it's like, you need to control your team, honey. Like, you're the boss. Like, yes. It's your turn. It's your job to teach them, period, regardless of their ranking.
Right. You literally hit the nail on the head with all of that.
Clearly, I think about this a lot.
No, but like, it's just so true. And that was something that, you know, really annoyed me at the time, like, especially with the, she didn't like how I wasn't pouring the wine to the guests later in the night correctly. And I know the correct way to pour wine. I actually know it. But, you know, when there's so much to do, sometimes you just, you know, you're not doing everything in the proper way, but like, you're getting it done. You know, these guests are, they want refill after refill. You're pouring their wine, but I was holding it by the neck, and she could have easily just said, hey, like, can you make sure to, you know, pour it properly? That's important to me, or whatever. And it would be like, oh yeah, of course. Sorry. Like, and do it.
And but also,
she never told me, like, she said in hindsight, you know, on an interview.
Also, after like your guest's like seventh glass of wine, I really don't think they're going to be writing on like the comment card, like, dude, she was holding the wine bottle wrong. It's like, I don't think it's the big thing to be freaking out about.
Yeah. For the most part, the people are so drunk and just there to have a good time. They're not focusing on like those little details, which I know are important in the yachting industry. But when you're very busy, you know, sometimes you have to have discernment over what takes precedence over what. So, you know, if the little drawer in the stew pantry is not organized perfectly, but the guests are getting their drinks in a timely manner, you know, then that's going to be more important.
Totally. I completely agree. So were you surprised that Ashling ended up being promoted to second stew over you? How was that whole
situation? What's really funny is that there was never an actual promotion. What happened was Francesca said that the two of us are going to be third stews. So she never actually had a second stew. Yeah. So she never officially got promoted to a second stew. When Francesca had the talk with me, she was like, I'm going to keep you guys both at third.
Oh.
So I don't know if everyone just assumed that or if they like said it on the show, but. Oh, anyway, I'm just getting technical here. Yeah. Was I surprised? I mean, no, Ashling came in and was, you know, really impressing Francesca and proving herself as a valuable asset. And I was just looking more and more like I didn't know what I was doing. And it was frustrating.
Was it hard watching those kinds of scenes when you were watching it for the first time, thinking like, oh shit, like the two of them are kind of going against me?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, especially just because with Ashling, like, you know, I had no idea that she felt the same way as Francesca. She was my roommate. She was just like, you know, super nice to my face and seemed like supportive and like she was, you know, happy with our work together. And, you know, she never like took me aside and said, hey, you know, I feel like I'm doing your work. You need to step it up. Like I've never had that conversation with her. So that's what, you know, looking back, I don't like that at all.
Yeah. I mean, that's like going back
very uncomfortable.
What we were saying with Francesca, where it's like, if you really feel like all of your work is like, if she really feels like she's stepping in for you a lot on a lot of things, pull you to the side and say, hey, you have laundry this afternoon and I have dishes. Like, I just don't understand like why she couldn't have just vocalized needing a hand, especially like in a high stress situation like yachting, where like anything can happen at any minute that derails the entire organization of like the interior and the exterior.
Absolutely. And things like when you're being told to take a break from your superior, like you take the break because that's the flow. You're just kind of following orders. But it would look bad on me because like I would take the break and then like Ashing that one time like stayed up like later, but then was like super tired the next day. And you know, that's just not how I roll.
Yeah. I mean, if you get a break and it seems like you guys are on your feet the entire time, I feel like you have to take it. And it's not a break, like a normal job where you can go for a walk or do something. Like you're just stuck in your little cubby. Like it's not a mental health break. Like you're just shoved in.
Not
your
at all. You just get to literally put your feet down and not think about work for like a second, you know. As soon as you leave that cabin, it's always game on. So it's a lot.
So had you ever been fired before? Were you expecting to be fired? Were you feeling anything in the air, or was it like a complete shock for you?
Well, I was walking on eggshells for a while with Francesca, so I knew that she wanted me fired from a while ago, you know, as soon as Ash came in, basically.
Yeah.
But I mean, just looking back, I was totally shocked because I felt myself, I was improving. Like I was switched on. I was doing everything I possibly could do, you know, with all the jobs that she would give me every single day. Like I would complete them. We've had successful charters, and then the end of a charter would happen. She'd go, I still am just really unhappy with you. And I'm like, I just honestly didn't understand it. She didn't have clear examples of what, why. So it just felt more and more personal. And I didn't think that Captain Lee would let her fire me for those reasons, because, you know, I really felt in my heart that I was working hard and it had nothing to do with my ethic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting because, well, as like a viewer and someone who's just obsessed with Bravo. So when I realized you were fired at the second to last episode, and then it was the last episode, in my head, I was like, well, they're not going to replace her. And COVID has hit like all over the whole world. So, yeah. You know, I kind of knew it was going to be closing, but did you guys on deck have any idea that COVID was as serious as it was? Like, were the guests coming on and talking about it being nervous, or was it still kind of like in the infancy where it wasn't as, you know, serious as everybody eventually thought it was and how it is now?
Yeah, we definitely did not know how serious it was. But I remember that the last charter we had with the Queen of Versailles and Jackie started only feeling really serious at the last charter when the Seagulls came on, the Queen of Versailles, because they were talking about it, making references. Mr. Seagull was mentioning, you know, concerns business-wise and stuff like that, the economy. And it was like, oh, yeah, my head was in the game with work I couldn't even focus on anything else. So I wasn't like, you know, concerned until that last day.
And then when you were fired, did you end up going back to New York?
I did end up going back to New York. And then I was quarantined at my parents' house for like the next 4 months before moving back to Florida. So yeah, it was the epicenter. Actually, that last episode, I'm crying. And that's actually a part of me saying, like, I'm also just crying because I don't want coronavirus. I don't want to go back to New York.
Oh, I know. And New York was terrifying at that point.
I was like, oh my God, little did I know. Yeah.
Well, we have to talk about the James of it all. And I have to say, yeah, like, not only, like, everybody was just constantly saying Elizabeth and James. And the whole time I was thinking of that clothing brand.
Yeah. Yeah.
From Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen. Like, the entire time I was like, is anybody going to make reference to their brand? Please.
I know. I should have had them sponsor my dress or something. Period.
For real. Wait, speaking of your reunion dress, that was, like, so fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's a local boutique here. Yeah, they totally styled me out. I was like, are you sure this one? I mean, I love it. It's loud, you know? I wanted it to be loud.
I mean, well, you couldn't tell it was, like, I mean, obviously it was, like, bright on, like, in your little Zoom bubble. But once I like saw it on your Instagram and it was like floor length rainbow, I'm like, all right, she's coming in with positivity, lots of rainbows and good vibes for this.
Yeah. And some figure skating vibes, I suppose.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely.
But who doesn't want to be doing that? So
with these reunions, I feel like you have to go in with whatever will bring you a little bit of joy because you just don't know how it's going to go.
You are so correct. That's what I tried to do.
So with James, you could see like some flirting, and James is attractive. I'll give him that. But yeah. A lot of the other women on the show were just so turned off by him, and you weren't. And so it was.
I know.
Like immediately, I was like, "Oh, I'm clocking these two."
100%. Yeah. I mean, I have a tendency to see the best in people and then I focus on that rather than the reality.
I'm not yet. So, I feel like that happens a lot.
Yeah. And, you know, we started to have more and more of a connection. I mean, after I got demoted, I remember James and I talked and like he genuinely made me feel better. And like at that time when, you know, just struggling with what I was going through with Francesca, which felt like abuse, like having James kind of on my side, it was, I guess it just made me feel better about the whole thing because it was really rough.
Well, yeah, like when you feel like you can talk to someone and have them not, you know, judge you and just like listen to you, and especially like that he wasn't in your team. It's not like he's in the interior crew where he is like privy to everything happening. It's just kind of nice to talk to like an outsider in a way.
Yeah. And he also, you know, just saw that side of her, and because she's acted like that towards him as well. And so he's just like, he was also just, you know, kind of angry about it. And I connected with that energy.
I connected with your equally as angry energy
towards my boss. Right. And I think I just needed to balance, like, you know, how overwhelming that was on her end with like some fun.
Well, when you guys like started like flirting, dating, like going on little dates, whatever, like sneaking off together, like were you in the back of your mind thinking like, wow, this guy could be a serious thing? Or did you always kind of have in your mind like, this is probably just gonna be like a fun boat hookup and we'll see where it goes?
I wish I could say I had the latter throughout, but I mean, I'm gonna be honest, like I guess a part of me was like, if I'm going to have this on-screen relationship, you know, I've moved to countries for my exes in the past, you know, and I've had it not make so much logical sense, but we've just made it work because we wanted to be together. So I just have this hopeless romantic kind of attitude, I guess, I just take with me wherever I go. And I don't know if it's serving me anymore.
I mean, I don't know. I get it. But so did you watch any like past Below Deck franchises to see like every boat romance just generally doesn't work? I mean, you live
that.
Yeah,
I mean, in my own life, I've been through it and they generally don't work. But I guess I still was like, well, maybe this one. this one being on the TV show. But I mean, that's just more like my dream world, you know. As soon as he started pulling away, I was like, all right.
I mean, it's like you have to be at least open to it. Like, why not? You never know who you're going to meet. Like, maybe you'll meet the love of your life on a yacht.
Yeah, exactly. And it's being filmed.
I mean, okay, we have to play marry, fuck, kill. We have Eddie, Rob, or James. Should I go first or should you go first?
You go first.
I would marry Eddie, even though his previous seasons he cheated on his girlfriend with Rocky. But I think he's the cutest person. I would fuck James because he's pretty attractive. I'm not crazy about the brows, but
yeah,
I think he would be a good lay for an evening. And then I would have to kill Rob because not only like was he like so hot, but he was so hot yet so boring. And I think that's a horrible combination. Like, please prove me wrong. Was he as like stale in person or
no? No, I actually love Rob. So I'm going to say that I would marry Rob, fuck James, kill Eddie.
Whoa. Okay.
I know, it's a good turn of events, but Rob's really cool. He's a character. If he seems boring, it's just because I think a lot of the things that he said like couldn't even be aired. He was kind of a rebel and Bravo doesn't like that. I mean, he didn't even go to the reunion, you know.
Yeah,
because he's like, I don't need this shit. Like, you know, he has that kind of attitude. And like, so they're not going to really give him a lot of character, if that makes sense.
Totally. I mean, I didn't like how condescending he was towards Izzy. And of course, like editing shows certain things. But yeah, I liked how towards the end, she like had that moment with him where she just like really gave it to him. I'm like, nice, Izzy. Hell yeah. Like, stand up for yourself. Don't let him walk all over you. You're a badass.
Yeah, love Izzy. I'm glad that she can do that, you know.
Yeah, and at least can stand up for it. Because, I mean, I can't imagine being a woman in that situation. You know, I guess Malia from Below Deck Mediterranean was the first female bosun. And she was such an amazing bosun. Obviously, she had her questionable moments with Hannah, I will say. But that aside, she was such a great bosun. And, you know, openly talked about how difficult it is for women to be respected in an industry that is like so predominantly for men. And so to see Izzy kind of work as an underling under Eddie, who like really supported her, and then yet had these two guys being like, why is she getting promoted? I don't get it. It's like, she worked for it. Imagine that.
I know. It makes me so mad. I totally get it.
So, and then obviously, like, we've pretty much touched on everybody, and I have to say, loved you on the show, but I think Chef Rachel was most definitely the person who had some of the most quotable moments. I would get arrested if I said some of the quotes that she said.
I know, she's just, I love her. She's so out of line, but like, I'm all about it.
I mean, were you shocked when you watched the meltdown that she had in front of Captain Lee, where she said like, eat my cooter, like, and fuck you, like, she like kept looking at him and she's like, fuck you. And like, I feel like everyone must have like dispersed and gone back to their teams, and like, you must have heard that something happened. Obviously she got up and left, but did you think that the conversation was as severe as it was?
I mean, yeah, knowing Rachel though, like, I wasn't shocked because that's how she is. She's shocking. You never know. But in terms of like the disrespect towards Captain Lee, like, I'm surprised that he kind of took her back, especially because I mean, I haven't personally like had done anything to disrespect him outwardly, you know. And I feel like I have a lot of he does he has a lot of disdain for me.
I mean, I as much as I saw like an animosity, like I kind of compared your situation with Shane Sunshine, whatever his name is. And, you know, he was fired after like 4 or 5 episodes. And I think Captain Lee gave you a little bit more time. And I think he kind of thought Francesca might have just been a little petty in some of her issues. And it's like, I think him as a, you know, a true leader probably felt like, all right, go deal with it. Like, this is so minor, like deal with it, please deal with it. And then towards the end, when it was like complaint after complaint, he's like, all right, we have to get this girl out of here. Like, cause clearly the chief stew is miserable with the situation.
Right.
Have you like been in any contact with him? Like, or.
No, I haven't, but you know, I was just a little upset week after week at the way he was writing about me on his logs. And it's just because in person and on the boat, like I thought we really had a great relationship, and you know, I thought he saw my efforts and my devotion to the position and you know, just that I was working hard and that I was doing everything I possibly could. But yeah, he never showed me the animosity that he seems to be showing once it started airing, like just kind of following the narrative. It's just kind of like a kick me when I'm down energy, like why, like you know I get fired, like
yeah.
I'm sorry, how did I personally offend you, you know?
I mean, we saw him in some precarious situations this season. I think the most noteworthy, obviously, other than like Rachel's eat my cooter moment, like was when Dolores jumped off the boat and then jumped off the boat the next day as well. I think that was a moment that seemed like it really bonded everybody on the crew. And I would have paid money to see that in person. How long was she floating out in the water for before you guys got her?
Well, she actually jumped off like right when we were all there and then proceeded to float away. So I would say the whole thing was probably like 10 minutes, but that's just, you know, too long for already having been told not to do that. And yeah, she was definitely a bit of a rebel and didn't want to listen to anybody.
And I was glad that Captain Lee let her friends stay, because I felt bad for them. They were like, what the hell's happening? Like, where did she go? And you could see as like the dinner was, I mean, as the day was progressing, she was just getting drunker and drunker. And, you know, if you really watch editing of any show, you can see who they're focusing on, especially on Below Deck. When they really pinpoint one person, it's like, you know, something's going to explode.
Exactly. There's always like one in every group, right?
Exactly.
But her friends, I remember, was just so embarrassed the next day. Like, they were so sorry, so embarrassed. And they were just really grateful that they got to stay on.
I mean, they probably acted so responsible the rest of the charter, because they knew like, shit, we can get kicked off at any moment. We already have one strike.
Yeah. they definitely were on their best behavior.
Well, we saw you on the show with crystals in your bra and calling your spiritual advisor in just, you know, moments of peril. Like, what embraced the spirituality? How did you get involved in spirituality, I guess?
Yeah. I like to say I've always been this way. I've always been into personal development, philosophy, religion, abstract concepts of metaphysics, like time and space and being. Yoga's saved my life in a lot of times throughout my life, like going on, I went on a yoga teacher training. I've been on many, many retreats. I've stayed in ashrams, you know, connecting with my higher self, praying to God. I just always have given more importance to my soul over material. And that's just what keeps me going through life and feeling purposeful and like I'm on a journey. And ultimately I want it just to be for the betterment of everybody. And so I'm on my way trying to figure out how to do that more and more.
I love you that. Know,
have be you a better person been, for everyone else.
Have you ever been to Kripalu in upstate New York?
Ooh, that sounds so familiar. What is that?
It's like a yoga meditation place. Like, they do yoga teacher trainings and you do like different weekends and they have different courses all about, you know, one can be about your chakra, one can be about like Ayurvedic eating. They have things called like yoga dance and you do these like funky yoga dance move things. And it's so cool. When you're back in New York, you should definitely check it out to see if you can get a weekend there, because it's like super powerful. Wow. Like every time I've gone, I've like had these like realizations about myself, you know. Sometimes like when you're taken out of your normal day to day, you can kind of have a deeper reflection on like yourself, because you're not in your bedroom. You're not in, you know,
absolutely
work. Like you're kind of taken out where you're like, okay, like I'm kind of alone in this place. Like what am I trying to figure out? Like what is working, what's not working. And that place has always been like a really good place for me. And it's like so beautiful. It's on a lake. There's hiking. There's like all of this fun stuff. It's so much fun. You should.
I'm so happy. I'm so happy you're telling me about this. I'm like writing it down now. I'm going to look into it.
Yeah. I don't know if they're doing like the full service now just because of COVID stuff, but probably by the summer they'll be opening back up, and you definitely want to go in the summer so you can like kayak and go hiking. And it's just so nice. And the grounds are just gorgeous too.
Awesome. All right, I'll look into that.
Definitely.
I'm always looking for the next excuse to self-reflect and self-actualize.
<Love that. laughs> So other than self-actualization and acting, what's next for you? Like, would you ever go on another reality show?
Yeah, I'm actually open to that, but probably one that where I'm not working, doing my job.
I was thinking,
which are like most of them, right?
You should go onto Bachelor in Paradise. Like I was thinking like that could be a great show. There's lots of dating. There's like, you know, fun to be had. You're on a beach, you're drinking. I feel like that could be a great show, a great fit for you.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Sure. Sign me up.
Done. I'll pitch
Let's make this happen. Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm open. I'm still single and I'm like still figuring out kind of just like where I want to be settled. I've got a lot of stuff I'm working on, just with like my creative endeavors, art, and also I'm a drummer and I want to like really get into music again and just kind of have some things fall into place in that regard. That's what I'm working on.
Well, it's also kind of nice. COVID, I feel like, has given people time to like sit back and think about what they want and really like work on things, especially creative projects. And so it's a perfect time for you to start a band.
Yeah, exactly. any players out there? You got a drummer here.
Well, Elizabeth, this was so much fun talking to you. I really appreciate you coming on this show. You know, where can people find you and follow you on Instagram or anywhere else?
Yeah, awesome. Thank you so much for having me. And they can find me on Instagram, Bettabird, BETTABIRD, my alias. And I'm mostly active on there right now. So, yeah. Thank you. This was so much fun.
This was so fun. Yes. Well, yeah. When you're in New York, definitely hit me up.
Yes, I would love that. I'm so happy that we were linked up.
For sure. Well, thank you again so much for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Thanks so much for catching up with me, Megan O'Donnell, on this episode of Bravo Happy Hour. Until next time, be sure to follow Bravo Happy Hour on all social media platforms and feel free to shoot me an email, bravohappyhourpod@gmail.com, with any hot, juicy gossip or just to say what's up. Stay tuned on Tuesdays and Fridays for more episodes of Bravo Happy Hour. And if you're loving the show, head on over to Apple Podcasts and give me some love in the form of a 5-star review. Thanks for listening and have a great rest of your day.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.